Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Margie Silverman and Barbara Tufton interviewing Miriam Wolfson on Wednesday, November 5th, 1975.
Mrs. Wolfson, can you tell me something about your family? Your mother, your father, as far back as you can remember.
Well, I came from a very religious home. My father was a rabbi, Kansas. My brother, he's been his rabbi, Milton Redman, rabbi emeritus at the Temple of Emmanuel of Birmingham, Alabama. I have two sisters, one Ruth Weiner, married to Dr. Sidney Weiner, and one single sister, Sister Bradley. I have one child, Barbara, who is married, who has two daughters, and is a mother. She is a physiotherapist. And since her children are grown, one 16 and one 18, she has taken a full-time position as therapist at Kane Hospital. Her husband, Leroy Myers, graduate of W&J, represents a furniture factory in North Carolina. My daughter Barbara is a graduate of Chatham. And attended Watson School for physiotherapy for the following year. My father and mother were very devoted parents, and we came from a home which emanated love and trust one from another. And this has remained so to this day.
Where did you live?
We lived in many places. I was born in Bradford, Pennsylvania. My father moved to Richmond, Virginia, and my two sisters were born there. And then my father accepted a position in an Orthodox synagogue in Washington, D.C. And from there, we moved to Connellsville and then to Pittsburgh. And we have lived here since 1959.
A rabbi in a congregation in Pittsburgh?
Yes. My father was the rabbi of the Beth Yaakov, the Beth Yaakov, that's the Beth Jacob, which is, I think, still in existence.
Were your parents born in this country?
No, my mother came here when she was 10 years old. She came from Poland and was reared by her cousins who lived in Titusville, Pennsylvania. She remembered when Drake drilled the first oil well. Her cousin manufactured pipes for the well and his grandson is still in that business. Their name was Levy, and in Dubai. My father came to this country when he was 21. He came from Russia and had to escape the military service there. His brother had come to the United States several years before, and so he came here under the guardianship of his brother. He met my mother in Titusville. Through the efforts of some of the interested parties who wanted to get the two of them together. Anyway, they were married. And they were married for 51 years, I think. Then my father died at the age of 75. And my mother lived on until she was probably 88.
Can you tell me something about your home atmosphere? I know you mentioned a little bit your religion, the religious atmosphere, economic.
Well, we came from a religious home. My father and mother were strictly Orthodox, kept a kosher home. And I keep a kosher home today because, although I'm a Reformed Jewess, my father and mother would never have eaten in my house if I hadn't. And so I went ahead with all the rituals of keeping kosher. And I think this too helped to cement the close relationships that existed out of their lives.
I mentioned the economic.
Oh, and economically, I can say that we were always poor. Our Orthodox rabbis never earned very much in those days, and they weren't guaranteed salaries. My father, incidentally, had a beautiful lyric tenor. He was trained in the Royal Choir of Vilna, which was unusual in those days for a Jew to have training, but his voice was tremendously beautiful. And he had opportunities to go in for opera, but he had promised his parents when he left his home that he would never neglect being a Jew, carrying out the traditions with which he was reared, and so he sacrificed, and so he stayed poor. But then, as each of us became more independent after graduating from high school and earning our livelihoods, we were able to, and my father too had able to, been able to buy a home. And anyway, the economic circumstances were better.
What about cultural?
And culturally, we always had music in our house. We always sang on Friday nights. After dinner, we would sing they were called Smiris. And these were Hebrew songs in which we all joined. And the Sabbath was kept as a really holy day in our household, even to the point where we weren't allowed to tear a piece of paper. And my father tried to soften the restrictions by telling us this story, that when people died, those who were very bad went to the Gehenna, which is like hell. But on the Sabbath, they were allowed to come into heaven to enjoy the Sabbath. So we weren't supposed to wish the Sabbath day away. My father was a great scholar and a very astute person. He realized that since we were living in a different environment, totally different from his, that we would have to remain Jews, but we would have to adjust our Judaism to the environment in which we lived. And so therefore, at the age of 6, he took me to the, enrolled me at the temple in Washington, D.C. And I went there for 3 years until I moved to Connellsville. My father always felt that in order for Judaism to survive, you had to adjust to the age and to the environment. Otherwise, Judaism would have died from the beginning, because Jews had to adjust from the time they were driven out of Israel by the Romans, and then their wanderings into Babylon and Assyria and Persia and all over. But they were just a little woof in the whole thread or the whole piece of cloth, and they were always outnumbered. And so there was something there that had to survive. And so the one way of surviving was adjusting. Now, if you think back, the Jews at first prayed to God through sacrifices in the temple. And then when the temple was burned and sacked and the Jews had to leave Israel, Palestine, they went to Babylon, where they established schools and synagogues, so that there was a constant adjustment, and we have always, as Jews, have made constant adjustments to wherever we live. And so my father, realizing that, had us reared both ways. In other words, we had Orthodoxy on the one hand, and we were introduced to Reform Judaism on the other. And incidentally, my father was offered the physician's cantor of the temple there, but he would have to sing without his hat, so that he refused that. So he really sacrificed in many ways for his religion.
Was your home in Pittsburgh? In what area? Yeah. When you moved to Pittsburgh, where did you live?
Well, when we moved to Pittsburgh, we lived in the Hill District, because that at that time, that was the place, the area where all the Jews lived. And then gradually, there was an exodus to East End, and then there was an exodus to Squirrel Hill, as you know, and now there's an exodus to suburbia. And so we lived on Oak Hill Street, and we lived there for maybe 3 or 4 years, and then that's when my father bought the house on Avalon Street, which is in Shenley Heights, above the university, near to Ball School, around the corner of the school. And there we lived the rest until my father, we lived there until my father had a heart condition. The hill there became too much for him to climb. And so he wanted to be near a shul, and he bought a small house on Niagara Street in Oakland. And at that point, I was married, my sister was married, and only one sister was left. So the three of them moved into this house where my sister lives now.
Where was his shul located when he was a rabbi?
When he was a rabbi, the shul was located on I think it was Washington Street. then from that shul, he became the rabbi of the Lubavitcher shul, which was right near Niagara Street, so that he didn't have the walk on Yom Kippur and the holidays, which he did have from Avalon Street. It was too difficult. So this is one reason why he made the move.
Can you tell me something about your education?
Yes, I graduated from Bethany High School, and I graduated from Fifth Teachers Training School. Then I attended the University of Pittsburgh, and I taught half days. In those days, they had two sessions in some of the crowded areas, and I taught half a day in Mount Washington, the Prospect School. And then I married. I got my degree from the University of Pittsburgh, AD, and I only pursued this with graduate courses in subjects that I was interested in. I didn't go on for another degree, but this is where I stopped. And
what about your primary elementary education?
Well, my primary education was in Washington, D.C., and then Connellsville. And Braddock. My first year of high school was in Braddock High School, and then we moved to Pittsburgh, and I entered my sophomore year at the
Bethany. And what about your teachers and your friends? Were some of them Jewish or not?
All my friends were a mixture. I have good Christian friends, and I have good Jewish friends. My friends' religion wasn't the measuring stick. People are people, and they had a feel for me, and I for them, and we became friends. So I really have. I've always had friends in both religions.
Can you remember anything about your health as you were growing up? Whether there were any, what the medical care was like?
Well, I was always a healthy child. I'm a healthy individual today. I had one illness that was the most serious, I guess, three of us. I brought home scarlet fever at the age of 6, and I was in the Providence Hospital in Washington, D.C., and my sisters got it from there. Outside of measles, I don't think I ever was sick.
Did you have good medical care?
Always. Dr. Freeberg, Naomi Freeberg, was our doctor. From the time we came to Pittsburgh on, it was, we always had good care, whole family.
And as you were growing up, what did you do for recreation?
Play tennis. To hike. We were in Connellsville. We always took a long hike into the country. There wasn't all the crime and harassment that we find today, and kids were just really coming up and worried about it. Played games and dogs. And I remember we had a playroom when we lived in Connellsville. Every Saturday morning, I used to love dolls, and every Saturday morning I would dress my dolls and put them away because I knew the rest of the week they were out. And my sister Esther, who was a graduate of the Dow School of Fashion Design from Costume Art, New York, always cut the paper dolls out of pattern books and made clothes, and we'd have birthday parties and weddings and occasions. This sort of filled up our time indoors. And we played the usual games, Jackson Ball and hopscotch. Whatever kids play. I guess we participated in.
Tell us something about your courtship and your marriage.
Well, I met my husband at a fraternity dance. He came from Cleveland, and he lived at the Hyatt fraternity house. Well, he was not a college man. He participated in all of their social affairs. And I had gone to this dance with a quiet boy, student at that time, maybe Ted. And I met my husband that night. And then about a week later, I got a call, and it was he. then he had begun to travel at that time. He was an accountant with a furniture factory in Cleveland, Ohio. And this factory opened a warehouse in Pittsburgh at the corner of Brady Street. It has since been torn down, and that bridge was put up. It's a big building that was long before their time. And my husband was sent here as controller of the merchandise that came into the warehouse, and also the books. And after a year there, he decided that he liked to try selling, and so he asked permission to try his hand at this, and if he did not like it, or if he weren't successful, he would go back to what he was doing, and the firm agreed. And once he got out on the road, he just loved it, so he's been in the furniture business for 51 years now. He has just retired 2 years ago.
You mentioned your daughter. Can you tell us where you lived in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
When you were married?
Well, we were married. We lived on Hobart Street. There were some new apartments right opposite the Wendover. They had just been built, and we lived there for 3 years. Or maybe five, I can't remember, until the new Wendover was built, and then we moved to the new Wendover. And we lived there until Barbara was born. And she was born 5 years after we were married. And then we moved to Cayman Street, which is also in the area, the Wendover Street. And then we bought a house on Darlington, short end of Darlington, between Richard Boulevard and the end of Beacon Street. And we lived there from 1941 until 1956. And then we moved to 5100 Fifth Avenue and sold the house. And that apartment was made to condominiums when we moved to our new home, 45 Monday.
Did you have an Orthodox wedding?
Yes, it was a really big wedding. We were married without any fuss or flurry one morning. My family didn't think I was going to marry because I said, oh, well, I'm going to get married. And all of a sudden I sprang it on them. And my father married us in our living room on Hathaway Street. And I had a couple of very close friends who came for a little breakfast. And then I went back. I was teaching school at Miller School at that time. And I taught all day. My husband picked me up and we went to Cleveland for our honeymoon.
Can you tell me about your social life after you were married and family vacations?
Well, after we were married, we always had a good social life. We had many friends. In fact, one of our friends, Mr. and Mrs. Alan Schwartz, was responsible for their romance and marriage. We used to travel in various circles. There were groups that got together, and we did next to other groups, and we were a part of maybe two or three such groups. And We always, especially when we lived on Beacon Street. I tell you, we lived on Beacon Street too. Before we bought the house, we lived on Beacon Street in an apartment between Whiteman and the park. And that was the time when I did most of my entertainment. We had big dinner parties and friends, and we had living help. And it was, well, today you don't get that kind of help, nor do we socialize that much anymore. But for about, I guess maybe 10 or 15 or 20 years, this is the type of thing we did. And then,
I wanted to know something about your family vacations.
Oh, well, all right.
Some hobbies, any hobbies that you and your husband have.
My husband traveled a lot because of his connection with a friend. He traveled all of Pennsylvania except Philadelphia, and twice a year there were markets in Chicago and New York. And I would go with him to the markets, and it was good living help that I could leave my child with my help. And she was not only help, but she was a friend. And she would write me long letters about what happened every day with Barbara. I said, I needn't worry. And this went on for a number of years until the furniture factory began to meet in Sedgefield, Greensboro, North Carolina, High Point, North Carolina. And when the markets moved to High Point, Irv and I used to go down to Sedgefield, which was a gorgeous inn, a beautiful old English inn with a tremendous golf course. And I loved to play golf, so I would play golf while he was working. Maybe he'd have one or two days before the markets began, or the last day before we went home, and he could play. And we traveled an awful lot. We began to travel in 1956. We took an eight-week trip around the Mediterranean with our friends, Mr. and Mrs. M.P. Chan. It was a marvelous trip. We didn't go, it was not an excursion. We did it on our own. We flew to Paris, and from there, we went all the way around the Mediterranean. We spent some time in Spain, and then down the coast, and then around to Rome and Naples and Florence. And we went to Malacca, and we were at the visited Rabat in Casablanca. Spent 2 weeks at that time, 8 weeks in Israel. And at that time, Israel had really accomplished quite a bit since the 48 war. And we visited all the institutions of the kind Weizmann and all of the kept me on Haifa, doing stuff there. When the Galilee, when the Syrians were shooting down at the fishing in the Sea of Tiberias, and we saw trucks, there was no truck, in the storm truck, we had not had an armed soldier to guard it, because things were very bad in those days. And we decided to go to a lot, and then Matt said, well, there's nothing to sand there now, so why not spend the whole day? So we skipped that trip. But on our next trip,